Here is one of the earliest descriptions of an autistic patient in the medical literature. He never looked up at people's faces. When he had any dealings with persons at all, he treated them, or rather parts of them, as if they were objects. He would use a hand to lead him. He would, in playing, butt his head against his mother, as at other times he did against a pillow. He allowed his boarding mother's hand to dress him, paying not the slightest attention to her. So, when Peter looked at the scene of Martha and George kissing, their two faces did not automatically command his attention. What he saw were three objects: a man, a woman, and a light switch. And what did he prefer? As it happens, the light switch. "I know," for Peter, "that light switches have been important in his life," says Klein. He sees a light switch, and he gravitates toward it. It's like if you were a Matisse connoisseur, and you look at a lot of pictures, and then you'd go, "Ah, there is the Matisse." So he goes, "There is the light switch." He's seeking meaning, organization. He doesn't like confusion. All of us gravitate toward things that mean something to us, and for most of us, that's people. But if people don't anchor meaning for you, then you seek something that does. Perhaps the most poignant scene Klein studied comes at a point in the movie when Martha is sitting next to Nick, flirting outrageously, even putting a hand on his thigh. In the background, his back slightly turned to them, lurks an increasingly angry and jealous George. As the scene unfolds, the normal viewer's eyes move in an almost perfect triangle from Martha's eyes to Nick's eyes to George's eyes and then back to Martha's, monitoring the emotional states of all three as the temperature in the room rises. But Peter? He starts at Nick's mouth, and then his eyes drop to the drink in Nick's hand, and then his gaze wanders to a brooch on Martha's sweater. He never looks at George at all, so the entire emotional meaning of the scene is lost on him. "There's a scene where George is about to lose his temper," says Warren Jones, who worked with Klein on the experiment. "He goes to the closet and pulls a gun down from the shelf and points it directly at Martha and pulls the trigger. And when he does, an umbrella pops out of the front of the barrel. But we have no idea until it comes out that it's a ruse. So there is this genuine moment of fear. And one of the most telltale things is that the classic autistic individual will laugh out loud and find it to be this moment of real physical comedy. They've missed the emotional basis for the act. They read only the superficial aspect that he pulls the trigger, an umbrella pops out, and they walk away thinking, those people were having a good time. Peter's movie-watching experiment is a perfect example of what happens when mind-reading fails. Peter is a highly intelligent man. He has a graduate degree from a prestigious university. His IQ is well above normal, and Klein speaks of him with genuine respect. But because he lacks one very basic ability, the ability to mind-read, he can be presented with that scene in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and come to a conclusion that is socially, completely, and catastrophically wrong. Peter, understandably, makes this kind of mistake often. He has a condition that makes him permanently mind-blind. But I can't help but wonder if, under certain circumstances, the rest of us could momentarily think like Peter as well. What if it were possible for autism, for mind-blindness, to be a temporary condition instead of a chronic one? Could that explain why sometimes otherwise normal people come to conclusions that are completely and catastrophically wrong?